Time for us to talk cars, and joining us on the line, our regular cars contributor, Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. A reminder that the site is a great resource for news on the latest releases, videos, comparing different models, and really anything you need to know if you're in the market for a car. Chira, it's great to have you back with us. Hope you enjoyed your holiday, and nice to have you back again.
Hi, Pippa. I did very much. Grayson is a lovely little place. First time I'd been there, and it was very enjoyable.
Okay, glad to hear you had a bit of a rest. I bet there was no roaring of engines in Grayson, but we are going to bring you an update on a new vehicle and as well as answering some listener questions. Before we do that, though, Chira, the license plate story has had particularly John Matham and his afternoon show listeners enthralled. I spotted a license plate this morning that was CAA 88,000 something, and I nearly whipped out my phone to take a photo and sent to John. I had to stop myself. We have heard in the last couple of days an update, because as John's been pointing out, the CAA available numbers are close to running out. Why don't you just talk us through what we've learned about what happens next?
I know. I feel like this is quite an incredible story, because I'm no mathematician, but surely it could have been predicted that only 99,999 combinations would have been possible. Yep. And surely it would have just, like, you know, the thinking should have been, let's skip the CAA phase and just go straight to the three digits, three letters, and the WC at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just strikes me that someone accidentally printed 99,000 CAA plates and needed to get rid of them. I can't see another reason why we've gone down this road. So forevermore, there will only be 99,999 CAA plates on our roads, and very, very soon we'll be going to, like I said, an alphanumeric with WC at the end.
I love your thought of the printing error, Chira. I think many more listeners are skeptical that somebody's making money in this process, because, of course, we're all going to have to pay for the new license plates when we have to switch over to the new system.
I don't think it'll be a switch. I think you'll hold your plate. So if you've got your CAA, that'll be that for the, you know, for the foreseeable future, I suppose. It's all new issues, though, will be with the WC at the end. So I don't, and maybe one day, you know, CA plates become very valuable and start being traded, because they will slowly, you know, sort of fade and maybe be taken off the road eventually, as the cars that they're attached to sort of get taken off the road as well. So it's just it's a very curious situation, and I can't imagine that this wasn't foreseen. It's a simple, you know, from what I can tell, it's a simple mathematical issue.
As you say, it was completely foreseeable. So if it wasn't foreseen, the question should be, why wasn't it foreseen? And who is the person who'd missed the very obvious in this decision-making process? Okay, for now, let's go with your theory that somebody made a mistake in the printing. I do like that one. Chira, you've had a chance to drive a new VW T-Cross, the 2019 model, and this is very new to the South African market. I think only reached us a month or two ago. What did you think of the vehicle?
Very high interest vehicle. From what we've seen, or the numbers we've seen, they are absolutely flying off showroom floors. And I think one of the reasons for that is because the price range of the T-Cross overlaps the price range of the Polo. And so if you're looking at a Polo size and a Polo priced vehicle, with South Africans' love for SUVs and SUV styling and a bit more ground clearance, I think that the T-Cross is extremely attractive. So you can get into a base model T-Cross for less than a top spec Polo.
Wow.
However, if you, so there is an overlap, but if you compare like for like, so if you compare top spec T-Cross to a top spec Polo, then there's a 37,000 rand premium on the T-Cross. Essentially, mechanically, they're the same vehicle, same chassis, same engine, same gearbox. There's not much between them there. And apparently on paper, the T-Cross is longer, but not wider. But I actually shot the video recently where we had the new Polo and the new T-Cross side by side. Mm-hmm. We lined them up, and they're identical from what I can
really
tell. In fact, it's actually quite weird when you see the two cars side by side, you actually start to realize how many design tricks go into the T-Cross, because really it's only 10 centimeters taller than a Polo. But when you see it, when you see them next to each other, that T-Cross just shrinks. It's incredible. And it's a really interesting, there's a lot of design tricks going on, but where you can start to see that practically there isn't a huge amount to be gained with the T-Cross. You might be thinking, I'll go for an SUV, I'll get a bigger boot, etc.
Yeah.
But the boot is actually only 7% larger. And when I was staring at both of them side by side, to be honest with you, I couldn't see a difference. Okay. So you're not going to gain a huge amount. You will be able to load more if you put the seats flat. And the rear bench has a bit of a trick where it slides. So you can slide it forward and increase your boot space quite dramatically. Yeah, but which is very convenient. But then inconveniently, your rear passengers can't have any legs.
There's a minor inconvenience there. Okay.
There are some practical benefits to going with it over a Polo. I suspect that most people in this end of the market are financing the vehicles. And I did an exercise where I did a finance exercise with our car finance calculator. Yep. And like for like, you're looking at an 800 Rand difference on your installment per month. Obviously, if you trade in, that comes down. So for say between 400 and 800 Rand a month, you could be in what is technically an SUV, a baby one, over what is a hatchback. And I think that's quite appealing. And I suspect that T-Cross is going to steal a lot of sales from Polos, from Polo buyers.
Okay. I know you always take a very keen interest in the safety rating of vehicles. This one has got a really good one, hasn't it, Chiro?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you look at the sort of entry-level market, and what tends to happen is manufacturers strip out features to get the price down, whereas the T-Cross is pretty much the opposite of that. A lot of features have gone in, which I really like. And not only is it in the safety, but it's also in your sort of comfort features and tech features. So, yes, if I'm not mistaken, 4 to 6 airbags, I think, depending on the spec, which I quite like. But then all the passive safety features, so ABS, electronic stability control, EBD, which is electronic brake force distribution, those to me are very important, prevents you from getting into an accident in the first place. So I like that about the T-Cross a lot. Also, some nice toys. You will be able to connect your phone to the car via an app, and you can see things like how much range you have left on the tank, for instance. You can drop a pin when you've parked the car, and you can guide yourself back to your car. Quite nice useful. So little things like that. You know, it's a general trend across the market where you're starting to see phone connectivity to the car. And it's nice to have it in a T-Cross, which is essentially a car which is, these days cars are very expensive. It's quite far down the market, which is quite nice.
Okay, final question then is on the pricing. I know it starts under 300,000 Rand. You said at the top spec it's only a 37,000 Rand difference between the Polo and the T-Cross. What's the lowest level opening bid for the VW T-Cross?
So VW and their marketing were a little bit cheeky about this, because when I drove the car in March overseas, they put out an official press release that said T-Cross will come in at under 300,000 Rand, which is very smart because it grabbed a lot of headlines. Mm. But you will never find a T-Cross for that price, at least not now with the current offering. You're looking at a minimum of 334 up to 382 before options for the top spec. And I think a top spec Polo at the moment is around 347. So about 340 before a few options. One of the downsides to the T-Cross is that it's coming in from Spain. It's not built here like the Polo is. So potentially, if you don't like what you find on showroom floors and you want a custom spec, you're going to have to wait quite a few months for your custom car to arrive. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the update. That's the 2019 VW T-Cross. Somebody is SMS saying, please tell us more about that car finance calculator. Chiro, it's on the cars.co.za website. You just go to the services and tools button at the top of the page, and you'll find it there.
I'm very impressed. Thanks, Pippa. Yeah, okay. It's a super easy calculator to use. Punch in all the details, and then you can also, as you update a detail and just hit enter, it'll change the installment amount on the right hand side of the page. So you can fiddle with the interest rate and your trade in and your deposit and your residual, and then see what realistically you'll be paying per month.
Okay, so you're going to cars.co.za, and then in the red bar at the top of the screen, move across to services and tools. You'll find the drop down menu there, offers you the finance calculator. Somebody's WhatsApp saying, speaking of baby SUVs, any idea when Kia is going to launch theirs, and if so, what the price is going to be?
The Kia one, as far as I'm aware, last I heard, is still under consideration for our market. But I suspect it will come, because I think this is going to be a very big segment for manufacturers. And Hyundai, Kia's sister company, is about to launch their car called a Venue which is a very curious name. But it's a good looking little thing, and it's roughly the same size as the T-Cross, and I imagine it'll be very competitively priced. So Kia will probably look at how their Hyundai is doing and then make their decision, Kia SA, based on that. But I think based on how well T-Cross is doing, I suspect that if manufacturers have a car in that segment, that they, you know, will pull out all the stops to get it into our market. It really suits our market in that people want a premium product. They want all the toys. They want the SUV styling. But people, I think, are buying down. There's obviously enormous pressure on our disposable income. So a car like a T-Cross or a Venue, I think, you know, makes a lot of sense. And I think it's going to be a very big segment going forward.
Okay, thanks for the info there. Right, we're taking your calls for Chira on 021-446-0567. You can also do what Shane has done and send an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. Shane is thinking of buying a second-hand Hyundai Tucson, and he says the two I'm considering are the 1.6 TDCi manual or the 2-litre petrol. I would be interested in his opinion of the two with regards to economy, reliability, and general performance.
On economy, the diesel is going to outshine the petrol massively. I remember driving that car and being particularly impressed with the economy of the diesel. So day to day, you will save money at the pumps. Absolutely no doubt about it. When it comes, obviously he's buying secondhand, so warranty issues are going to become something to deal with going forward. Looking at, you know, out of warranty maintenance. And on that front, statistically, I suppose diesel engines are not less reliable than their petrol stable mates, but the components that go into a diesel engine, like for like, tend to be more expensive than the components which go into a petrol engine. So, for instance, the injectors, which is something that probably has to be replaced between 130 and 150,000 kilometers, those are pricey. Components of the exhaust can also be particularly pricey, and those also generally have to be replaced on a diesel car. So it's worth looking into what major components will come up for the diesel, what mileage they'll need to be replaced, and what sort of price they go for, because you'll have to source them from Hyundai. You won't be able to get them anywhere else. You might be able to find a mechanic willing to fit them, but you'll likely have to go to a dealership. So it's also worth looking at what that cost of the service is going to be. And a service manager at a dealership should be able to help you with that sort of information. It's definitely worth making the call or even popping in and just having a chat.
Okay, thanks Shane for your email, and good luck with the purchase. Richard is wondering what you feel is the best car for under 250,000 rand. It can include demo models. It's fairly broad. Broad question, doesn't say much about his particular needs or likes, but broadly, Chiro, under 250,000?
What's quite distressing at the moment is there isn't terribly much under 250,000. I mean, you can go, at the moment, you can go all the way down to the cheapest car in South Africa, which is a Mahindra, 134,000. Very sort of bare bones thing, you know, but it makes forward progress and will get you from A to B. So that's all the way down to the bottom. When you start going up, I mean, it's very difficult to get into a Polo for 250. That being said, the market is very down right now, and I think dealers are willing to negotiate. And if they've got demos on the floor, they probably want them to leave. So it's definitely worth shopping around. But in that segment, you're probably looking at something like a VW Polo, a Ford Fiesta, a Mazda 2, a sort of high-spec Suzuki Swift, perhaps a Toyota Yaris. Those are sort of all the hatchbacks you're looking at there. But if you're willing to buy sort of 1 or 2 years old, you could go up a segment and you could potentially look at something like a Volkswagen Golf, a Hyundai i30, a Kia Cerato, Kia Rio perhaps as well. So there are options depending on the age you're willing to go up. Personally, for me, it would just be about the warranty. Volkswagen and Toyota have the lowest. It's as simple as that, but they generally keep their value, which is kind of the trade-off. So when you come to sell the car in perhaps 3 years, you've lost a smaller percentage compared to, say, some of the other brands. But right now, Hyundai, Nissan, all offering very strong warranties, 7 years on the Hyundai, 6 years on the Nissan, for instance. So that would be my consideration, is if you're buying a car off the showroom floor that's 6 months to a year old, that's something definitely to look at. And then one warning I would say is ask when the warranty was registered on the car. It's very, very important, because I have heard of horror stories of dealers not disclosing when the warranty was registered, and then the warranty runs out 6 months before you think it does, and you're on your own. So very important when buying a demo to ask that question.
Okay, thanks for that very comprehensive answer to a quite broad question. Richard, I hope you found what you needed within that feedback. Thanks so much for your WhatsApp. Right, a WhatsApp asking, Chiro, do you know when the Renault Triber will be coming to South Africa?
I don't. It's so tough. You know, these cars sort of launch in Europe, or they look, you know, they're about to launch in Europe, and the SA dates just never really gets confirmed until, you know, we get a press release in our inbox kind of thing. We do occasionally get forewarning from manufacturers. Sometimes, though, the information is embargoed. But right now, from what I know, as I said, Chad, there's no confirmation of that car for SA.
Okay. In our last minute, let's go back to the license plates. A lot of people very confused. I believe the person John interviewed last week said we were told emphatically we would have to pay to change over to the new number system. So clearly that's something that needs to be explored a little bit more in depth. But Jeff on the email asking, why can't we just go from CAA to CAB to CAD, etc. and onward? Chiro, is that simply because those are already designated to other towns? I know George is CAW, for example. I don't know how many others in between would interrupt that list. Do you?
Yeah, the Clan William area is CAR. I know CAM is taken. So okay. It's probably just to avoid some confusion on that front. From what I've read, I don't think people are going to be forced to change. I don't see how that makes sense, because I registered my car earlier this year, and I managed to get one of the very last CA plates. And I mean, that's my number plate. I can't see when I'm going to have to change it, or when I'm going to have to change it. So I don't think people with CAA plates are going to be forced to change. It doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, it also doesn't make sense to me that we have CAA plates in the first place.
Not everything government does makes an awful lot of sense quite a lot of the time.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I'm so sorry I can't clear that up. But my gut feel and sort of what I understand about my car is I'm not going to have to change. There's possibly worth definitely a follow-up next week.
Okay. Chiro, thank you so much for what you've shared with us in the meantime and for answering those questions today. Great to have you back again, and we will chat next week Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
Chiro de Siena is a motoring journalist at cars.co.za. A reminder, please check out their website and their YouTube channel for more information on comparisons between models, calculating your vehicle financing, and much more.